Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Delighted to have you with us this morning. Earlier at our Bible class time, Brian Bowden shared with us a really vitally important and really interesting Bible class, and it was awesome to hear the statistics that he shared with us. For those that may not know, Brian has been involved in sharing Jesus everywhere. His education level is off the charts. I served Great Lakes for so many years, and as a good friend of ours, we're so delighted to have him here. He just wants to spend a couple of minutes this morning expressing appreciation to us, and I'll let him explain that.
I'll preface it by saying for 5 years as a student at Great Lakes and 44 years as a teacher and principal, I never thanked you. It's about time, right? So, in the Bible class, the state of faith, belief, Canadian society, there's a hand in the back. If you were not here and you want to take one of those handouts, and I have more, but there's some in the back at the front foyer. And some other materials that you might pick up on your way out if you like to. But I went back to teach a Bible class after finally graduating Great Lakes after 44 years, and 5 years as a student, that's 49 years, so... In the last 2.5 years, I taught a particular Bible class, and a student named Moses was in my class. Good biblical name. And Moses, he wants to know spelling counts. How do you spell connect? Do I tell him? I don't usually give direct answers. So I could say F-I-O. Mary doesn't get that. Figure it out yourself, right? Figure it out. So this time, I learned from Moses... You spell connect by one being a physical presence. And you spell connect by, as the Bible class, communicating. And you spell connect by saying, finally, thank you. So on behalf of myself and on behalf of Great Lakes Christian High School and College and Bible College, I say thank you. Now, recently, I volunteered. I have a car, I have a Bible, I'm willing to travel. So I speak in various churches. In terms of, let's say, the Christian gospel and something about the current mission of Great Lakes. So I volunteered today to represent Great Lakes, to be here to connect with you and to personally thank you as individuals and as a church body for the following: your ongoing interest, financial gifts, spiritual partnership, your service, your encouragement, your prayers all these years. For being, if you were a student, a parent of a student, perhaps a grandparent of a student, a supporter of a student, a corporation member, a board member, a WAVE, a staff member during the last 65 years of operation. Now, this church here has been instrumental for over a century in the support of Christian education. See, Mary's grandfather, S.M. Jones, began the Beamsville Bible School at the old Queen Street Church of Christ in the first decades of the 20th century. And you've also supported the incorporation and the operation of Great Lakes Christian High School and College since 1950. Now, as a student of Great Lakes in 1961-1966, I attended the Queen Street Church of Christ, and it was for me as a student from afar a gift of welcome. For 65 years, this church has welcomed, provided spiritual formation, a safe place to grow, support, encouragement, direction to staff and students alike. All events, some will take place this year, God willing. All the events, the multiplicity of events, the disciples of Jesus you served with patience and with grace, thank you. Now, going forward, you might choose to further determine the future of Great Lakes, its mission, by being a corporation member if you so choose. There's a brochure on the table at the back. Or provide partner funding to encourage a student from a church community who otherwise might not attend. But this church, my prayer is that you may be blessed and continue to be a blessing in all of your ministries as you serve. And our ultimate goal for all of us is that to God may be the glory. So, for after all these years of service, on behalf of Great Lakes and to Great Lakes and to the students and staff, I say, Don, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Ask you to go with me on this journey this morning. Jesus had a special place in his heart for the broken, the hurting, the poor, the lonely, and the marginalized. But I go further. Jesus has a special place. He hasn't changed. He has a special place in his heart for the broken, for the hurting, for the poor, for the lonely, and for the marginalized. Imagine yourself, and maybe you don't have to imagine, never being accepted by anyone, even since you were a child. Never being welcomed, never being asked for your opinion, never fitting into any place or any situation, and out of nowhere, someone comes to you and tells you, you are first class in the eyes of God Himself. You may not feel it, and you may have never comprehended it, but I want you to know, you are blessed. And that word blessed is not a word we use very often. In the Gospel of Mark, he creates a scene in our own imagination in Mark 10 and verse 16 when it says this, and Jesus took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. Some of you have heard of the name Henry Nouwen, and I may have told this story in the past. I don't know. It's had a major effect on my own life. Henry Nouwen was an academic. He was dean of religion. I wasn't sure if it's at Yale or Princeton or Harvard, but one of those great places. He traveled the world, has written countless books. He was a man of demand. People wanted to hear him speak. They wanted to hear his opinion. He was an outstanding academic. He was a wonderful teacher, a wonderful counselor. And he decided, this is not what God has called me to do. Even though he blessed so many people, he knew in his heart, this is not what God has blessed me to do. And he gave it up to join something that back then was called the L'Arche Society out of Switzerland. It's now worldwide, where it's to care for people who could not care for themselves. And so Henry chose a man who he cared for 24 hours a day. This man could not feed himself, could not talk, could not change his own clothes, could not use the washroom by himself, could not get into bed by himself, could not get out of bed by himself. He needed 24-hour care. Day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year after year after year. And that's what Henry chose. And after several years in his ministry, he was asked about his life. And his response was, I love knowing what it means to serve the broken. And Jesus serves us in our brokenness on a constant level. Now, there's a lot of humor that went with this amazing amount of service. Where he was in Montreal for a while, he would often be asked to speak in chapel. And so the man that he took care of would sit up front with him. And he was speaking in chapel to a group of people who were marginalized and hurting and lonely, and some with severe difficulties physically and emotionally and intellectually. And he was giving his homily that day. And one of the young ladies in the audience who had some challenges in her life, her name was Janet, got up and started to walk toward the front while Henry Nouwen was still preaching. And she interrupted him and said, Henry, I need a blessing. And he stopped. And he was sort of taken back. And he got down from the pulpit and he said, Janet, may the grace of God be with you now and forevermore. And he offered that blessing. And she stopped and started to go back to her pew, and then she stopped and went back and she said, that blessing didn't work. That's no good. I need a better blessing. And he realized what he had said and what he had done, and he smiled, and Henry became the person that he's really always wanted to be. And he put his Bible down and he hugged her off of the ground when her feet back down, held her tight, looked in her eyes and said, Janet, God loves you, and so do I, and so does everybody else in this room. You are special. You are unique. There's no one who's ever been created just like you, and God loves you so much. And Janet said, that'll do. And then all of a sudden, people started to get up, and they came to the front, not just the challenged people, but also the care workers. And they all said the same thing. Henry, stop preaching. We want a blessing. That's how Jesus felt. Jesus was a teacher. There's no doubt about it. And we know he offered himself as the greatest sacrifice of all. And we know of the resurrection that we've just been through. And we know that he's as alive today as ever before. And he lives in our heart. But we cannot miss the teaching of coming alongside the vulnerable, the broken, the hurting, and the poor. And in the four Gospels, in my mind anyway, Luke is the master of the marginalized. He demonstrates Jesus going to person after person after person who no one had ever spent time with. And he shows their vulnerability, and he shows how Jesus comes alongside them. And at that time, of course, there were some pretty muscular religious groups of that time. And all of a sudden, Jesus started interfering with them by saying, oh, it's not just the great and pompous that Jesus is interesting. In fact, it's just the opposite. The greatest among you will be the least, but the least among you will be the greatest. They'll have the impact. And Luke says this in chapter 13 or verse 29. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 14 of Luke, in verse 13, and I can just see this picture. See if you can picture this as I read it. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Maybe like a Henry Nouwen blessing. Maybe the way Jesus blessed the children. You'll be blessed. This is what we've been called to do. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Some of you may have known the man by the name of Bishop Thomas Bridenthal. Wonderful, wonderful speaker. And his comment was, tongue-in-cheek somewhat, in a very strong statement. He said, there's absolutely no doubt about it. Out of all the people in the world, Jesus loves the poor the best. And for those of us who aren't poor, we go, but what about us? It's the encouragement to love best as well. And Thomas Bridenthal tells this parable of the difference sometimes between the poor and the rich. Now, may I just say before I tell this story, because it could be misinterpreted, as any story could be misinterpreted. There are wealthy people who have been gifted by God. Sometimes people are wealthy because they have just struck gold, if you will, no pun intended, but they've come into a significant amount of money. Others have become wealthy because they've worked hard at becoming wealthy. And just because someone's wealthy doesn't mean that they don't serve the world. There are many wealthy people that we know, even in our congregation, who are actively giving of themselves, of their time, of their education, of their finances to help people, not just here, but all around the world. They have blessed people tremendously, and they still bless people tremendously. There are wealthy people who love the poor, who serve the poor, who help the poor, who come alongside the poor. There are wealthy people who give their time, give their energy. There are wonderfully generous people. And there are poor people, some of them sometimes, who are very, very selfish. So we don't know all of that. But overall, when it comes to the overall looking at the disparity sometimes between the rich and the poor, with that said, let me tell you the story of the shepherd of the Hermas. It's a parable. And there are two pictures in this parable. One is if this majestic oak tree. And when I first read this parable, I thought of Barb and myself. Barb has an office in the house. And as we look out, especially in the evening, there is this huge oak tree. I asked Scott Conkle once, how old do you think that tree is? He says, it's got to be close to 300 years old. It is huge. And sometimes at night, God just gives us this picture, this blessing. The sun sets behind that oak tree, and it is magnificent. This beautiful oak tree reaching up into the heavens. That's part of the parable. So picture in your mind, if you will, this beautiful oak tree. And then the second part of the parable is this vine that just kind of grows along the ground. Every once in a while, it wants to reach up, but it just stays along the ground. And the question in the parable is, of the two, which is the rich and which is the poor? And some would say, well, the oak tree is the wealthy. That's obviously the case. And the poor is the creeping vine. And the narrator of the parable says, no, actually, it's just the opposite. That oak tree is opening itself up and depending on God for everything. That oak tree knows it didn't grow by himself, that it was God who allowed it to grow, and it's God that sustains it. But it's that vine, that creeping vine that represents the wealthy. Because that creeping vine depends, clings to the earth, to hold on to its possessions, to make sure no one takes its possessions away and stays close. And without even knowing it, that vine starts to grow up on the tree because that vine depends on that tree. And then Richard Bridenhall smiles and says, you see, God loves the poor best of all. And it's the story of Matthew chapter 5, which we'll conclude, because I've always read Matthew chapter 5 as instructive. If you do this, then here's the result. And in some ways, that's true, because in Matthew chapter 5, it talks. Now, when he saw the crowds, meaning Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying. So I always read this as an instructive passage. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you're poor in spirit, your blessing will be the kingdom of heaven. If you mourn, you will be comforted. And I think in some ways, that's probably true. But I think it's a lesser truth than the real truth. Because just before this, it gives us a picture of the poor, of the broken, of the hurting, of the lonely, of the marginalized, people who have never been accepted by anyone at any time or any place in their life, people who've never been welcomed, people who have never been asked for their opinion, people who have never been invited to any situation, and out of nowhere, Jesus comes along and says to them, you are blessed. This is not so much an instructive teaching as it is an announcement to the people who have come. And Jesus looks in their eyes, as Henry Nouwen did in Janet's eyes, and said, you are blessed because you're poor in spirit and you're open to the kingdom of God. You mourn and you are comforted, and because of that, you can comfort others. It's this marvelous teaching that you have been meek all of your life, and because of that, you can inherit the earth, because you know that the earth is only here for a short while. Blessed are you who are hungry and thirsty, because you have been hungry and thirsty. And many in that audience probably were at that moment hungry and thirsty, but not just for food and not just for water. Hungry and thirsty for identity, for meaning, for life, but most of all to know that there is a God who loves them, and because they feel loved, maybe for the first time, maybe invited to come because they've been told all of their life, they're not welcome in church, they're not welcome here, they're not welcome there. Jesus comes along, God in the flesh, and he puts his arms around them and he blesses them. That's what it means to be poor in spirit, meek, and be filled with the righteousness of God. He announces to the poor and the broken and the lonely and the vulnerable that when it comes to the great feast of the kingdom of heaven, you will have a reserved seat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for opening our heart and opening our mind to those who hurt, to those who are vulnerable, to those who are poor, to those who are marginalized, to those who are lonely. May you speak to our hearts, not just to understand these things intellectually, but to come alongside, as you have always come alongside each one of us. That as you have reached out to us with Jesus, we reach out to others to fill people with food and water, but most of all, to fill people with your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we love. Amen.